Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. What a surprise. 50% of Canadians are hate mongers. Did you know that? 50% of Canadians say illegal immigrants are making us less safe.
It's okay for them, though, that they're a different country.
We're the
ones who can't say that. We can't.
You're right, Pat.
When it's all y'all right, come free in America.
You're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that. Also, the FBI has arrested a Twitter user who sent a seizure in inducing GIF. Did you read about this? A guy who sent somebody on Twitter a GIF that caused him to have an epileptic seizure. We'll talk about that right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So this is a really amazing story. Kurt Eichenwald, he's a journalist who writes for Vanity Fair and Newsweek. He tweeted on Friday the FBI had arrested a man suspected of purposefully sending him a GIF that triggered an epileptic seizure. The Department of Justice confirmed the statement that John Rain Ravello, 29, of Maryland, was arrested Friday on federal charges of cyberstalking a Dallas victim. That victim, presumably, is Eichenwald, though he wasn't his identity wasn't released in the statement. Eichenwald has written openly about his epilepsy in the years past. In December 2016, Twitter user with the handle at Jew Goldstein sent him a strobing GIF, which induced a seizure. According to Eichenwald, the tweet came with the message, "You deserve a seizure." So he opens it up, and it has several pictures with the flash before it. And a strobe, like Mary can never go to a concert, my daughter Mary. And she really wants to go to concerts, and sometimes, you know, we'll go to one of these mega churches or something, and they'll have all the flashing lights, and she'll have to put her head down. Otherwise, she could go into a seizure. So this guy knew what he was doing, and apparently he was doing it because he was a Donald Trump supporter and didn't like what this guy was writing.
Wow.
And this is, these stories you don't know. Is it, this is confirmed that it actually happened this way? Or is it...
this is...
what's his case, I assume?
Whose case?
The guy who sent the tweet.
Nothing yet. Complaint was unsealed today.
It's amazing.
Following his initial appearance, according to the affidavit, Ravello's Twitter account contained direct messages from Ravello's account to other Twitter users concerning the victim, the Justice Department said. Those direct messages included statements by Ravello, including, "I hope this sends him into a seizure."
That's pretty clear.
I know he has epilepsy. Let's see if he dies.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they seem to have a case there.
So I don't know what.
That's pretty solid.
That's pretty solid. Let's go to Canada, because we're not allowed to say these things, but the peace-loving, cheese-eating population of Canada... I don't know why they're eating cheese.
I don't either. Because they're near Wisconsin?
I don't know.
At least part of the country?
Do they eat a lot of cheese? Do they make cheese in Canada?
No.
I don't know why they're called cheeseheads.
I don't know. That's Wisconsinites. But it has
Canadians.
Nothing to do with Canadians.
No, it does.
They're called cheeseheads?
And where I came from, they were called cheeseheads.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's Wisconsin.
I've never.
Well, I grew up in Washington State, and we called Canadians cheeseheads. I don't know if people still do. I don't know why we called them cheeseheads.
I don't either. That's kind of weird.
It was wrong. It was wrong of us, but we did it.
Okay, Urban Dictionary says, a cheesehead is, in your usage, a Canadian who, because of the significantly higher price of cheese in Canada than the U.S., makes periodic trips into border towns to buy large quantities of cheese and take it home.
No wonder.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So like on border towns, because I lived up by the border, I knew that. there were places where they just couldn't keep milk in stock. It's still like this. You can't keep milk in stock. They'll have, you know, they'll order gallons and gallons and gallons of milk, and they still can't keep them in stock because the Canadians come down because it's so much cheaper, and they just buy the milk.
It's an interesting commentary on tariffs and taxes.
Isn't it,
yes,
though?
Yes, it is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder what you'd learn from...
But what's also happening in Canada is that because some of the illegals here have been scared off by Donald Trump, they've crossed the border into Canada. And the Canadians, surprisingly, aren't liking that.
What?
And so 48%, almost 50% of Canadians say, yeah, we need to step up deportation. Let's get the illegals out of our country. Now, if we do that, we're the worst people alive. We're the worst living human beings. How dare you try to get rid of people who shouldn't be in your country in the first place? How dare you? Once they break into your house, they're there, and you need to take care of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
amazing.
How can you? You could protect the White House. You put a fence around that, and rightly so, right? But the rest of the country can be completely open. Unprotected.
Doesn't make any sense.
Completely unprotected.
I talked to Brian Lilly up in Canada. Mm-hmm. He's with Rebel the media up there. And he was saying that, you know, they're noticing a big change up there because, you know, Trump has obviously been outwardly, hey, don't come here if you're illegal. Where to contrast that and look wonderful to the world, Trudeau has said the opposite.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. We
you're
want
welcome.
You here. Come on in. So they're getting those problems are starting to go that direction.
What problems are those, racist?
What's that?
Huh?
What problems?
The problems associated with illegal immigration.
As if there were any.
Yeah,
yes.
Racist.
Yeah.
What kind of problems would those be?
What are you talking about?
Well, especially, they're particularly bad when you're a country like Canada that makes our welfare state look like nothing. You know, when you have everything guaranteed. I mean, because we obviously have a problem and we're going the wrong direction when it comes to entitlements and paying for everything. They're already there, right? We are shooting towards them, but they're further down this road. So illegal immigration is more of an issue in a country that has those things built in. You know, we've made this point before, and libertarians will make this point at times, because a lot of libertarians are pretty much open borders.
Mm-hmm.
And their point essentially is...
You can't be both.
You can't be both. That's because, I mean, if you have the libertarian state where you don't pay for anyone's anything, then maybe you could argue... You know, some of these things are okay.
I will tell you, if it wasn't for the danger that we face, if this was, you know, 40 years ago, I would be fairly okay with that. Maybe.
You'd still be rule of law.
I still
would
be rule of law. But I would say, you know, there's no danger necessarily coming over the... I'm just trying to think out loud.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, maybe 50 years ago. I'm not sure.
Shouldn't think out loud.
The thing that really puts this on the front burner is...
He's still thinking out loud.
He's still going.
All right, go ahead. Think out loud.
The thing that puts this on the front burner is the danger that is that our society is threatened with, with jihad and the gangs.
Well, and drugs,
right.
All that stuff.
Right, so if we decriminalize drugs... Mm-hmm. We also said no free anything for anybody. There's nothing free here. You got to work for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Open borders isn't as bad as you would think as it is now, except for the jihadists that want to come and kill us. So you take care of the drug thing. You take care of the drain on our society. You just can't have both. You can't say I'm for... open borders and free stuff for everything. Yeah. Free, come on in. You can use our hospitals. You can have our doctors. You can have free food. You can have welfare. We'll give you a house.
You can say that, but it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Leads
doesn't
to total work. Collapse and chaos.
Correct.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
And that's the problem. We have both of those.
And again, we're the only country on earth that is expected to just welcome all of it. Whoever wants to come into our country illegally, come on in. We'll take care of you. Everybody else can have quotas on immigration. Everybody else can ask something of the immigrants, like, what do you bring to us? What skills do you have? Okay, if you have no skills and you have no reason to be here, we're not going to allow you to be here. Everybody else does that, but we can't. I just don't understand that.
Let me change gears. Over the weekend, Beauty and the Beast broke 5 records. It was the top domestic opening of all time for a film rated PG.
Wow.
Wow.
No doubt.
That's amazing. $135 million was Finding Dory in 2016. Mm-hmm. This one is Beauty scored the top opening of all time for a PG film internationally. $180 million led by China, $44.8 million. Up next was the UK, $22.8 million. Fifth biggest for any film and the biggest for a PG title. Seventh, number seven launch of all time for any movie. It barely beat out the final Harry Potter movie at 169, ranked number seven. I wonder what the beauty could even come in this weekend as high as 174 million, which it would then tie Iron Man.
It wound up at 170 million. And it only cost 100 only, but it cost 160 to make. So domestically, it's at 170, but worldwide, it's already at 350 million.
That's incredible. Look at the worldwide openings, biggest worldwide openings.
Am I out of step here, not at all being interested to see this?
No, you don't have kids this age yet.
What's the right age for that? Because I would think for a Disney special, I would be thinking my kids are certainly went to Disney on Ice this weekend.
Your kids are perfect age for this.
So I think they would be.
How old are the kids?
5 and 4.
Yeah, a little young.
But this is a PG movie, so which makes you think that they're not going after.
No, this one is a little tough for little kids.
Right, because I mean,
like Cheyenne went and she was okay. She is what, 10 or 11 now, and she is she's very sensitive.
Super sensitive.
She's super sensitive, and so she didn't. She barely made it into this one. Like, she would have never been able to see King Kong. King Kong would have never been able to sleep again. and she, you know, she can watch the regular, you know, Beauty and the Beast. But this one is, the wolves are scary. Beast is scary. This is
But that's action. Why, I don't know why, again, and this is, I do not run a movie studio. I don't know if anyone knows that. And this might be the reason. But, like, it just doesn't seem to me to be, in a formulaic sense, something that would make a lot of sense to spend $160 million on, because you're targeting it at a little bit older than you think the general target would be. So this is for teenagers is the target?
I think this is
Beauty and the Beast?
No, I think it's for everybody, because everybody remembers the cartoon. You either went to it as a kid or you took your kids to it, and so there's a huge audience for this.
Whoever it was in Disney who said, let's open the vault and make them all live action, I think it is the smartest thing I've seen any entertainment company ever do.
Yeah. And they've done a bunch of these, right? Jungle Book they did.
Oh, yeah. They're all brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Cinderella.
They're all
stunningly
brilliant.
I've seen none of these films. And this is why I'm not the target.
By the way, I watched Passengers. You know the movie Passengers?
Yeah.
Do you remember what the girl's name was that he woke up? I don't know if
Aurora, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Did you connect that?
I didn't. I didn't at the time.
To what?
Right.
To
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty. Oh.
Sleeping Beauty. Her name is Aurora.
Aurora.
And I was watching it last night, and I'm like, Aurora, that's Sleeping Beauty. I wonder if that was intentional or not.
Probably.
But imagine it was.
Yeah, probably.
Also broke the biggest debut of all time for a female-fueled film.
A female-fueled film?
That's an actual
women?
Category?
Did they burn women to make the cameras run? What does that mean?
Now you're starting to interest me.
No movie fueled at this level by females of all ages has ever opened such big numbers. Hunger Games, 158.
Okay.
Twilight, 142. And those were the best series.
Right.
Wow. Well, I'm glad it passed up Twilight, because what a horrible, horrible movie, series.
That whole series
horrible
is great.
Phenomenon.
Are you kidding me?
Good
that
golly.
Whole series is great.
Me? Am I kidding you?
Yeah, are you kidding me?
That Twilight was horrible? No, I'm not kidding you.
That was great.
I don't even want to hear it from you.
You don't?
No, I don't.
It's too late.
Who had to go sit through that movie with their wife? Whose wife said, this is horrible, I'm not going to go? And whose
Mine.
Wife...
And
whose wife said, I love this. I want to go, and I want to see everyone on opening
Yours.
Weekend. Right. So don't talk to me about how bad it was.
Just because you suffered through it doesn't mean it would. That doesn't take the horribleness out of it.
Oh. You didn't enjoy them at all. There wasn't a sliver of
enjoyment.
Your
horribleness, though, is different, isn't it? Your horribleness
yes,
is
because I didn't have to sit through the horribleness. No, I didn't read the books. I didn't see the movies.
Right, but your horribleness was because of vampires, right? You don't like vampire movies.
Yeah, that, and it's just the whole theme of it, the whole thing. I just didn't like any of it.
It feels like it was like a vampire movie aimed at teenagers, too. Do I have any perspective on any of these movies? I feel like I'm talking to a totally... like a different world. I don't understand any of these trends. What's going on?
Oh my gosh. He's turning it again.
Get off my lawn. Damn kids. By the way, Beauty and the Beast opening worldwide weekend, number 14 of all time. And I will say, none of the ones ahead of it, with exception of number one, really interest me at all.
Wait. You want say that stat
14
again?
14 when it comes to all-time worldwide opening weekends.
Oh, worldwide. Mm-hmm. So there have been bigger movies than 350?
Real quick. 14, Beauty and the Beast. 13, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. Huh. 12, Iron Man 3. 11, Captain America Civil War. 10, Spider-Man 3.
Jeez.
9, Transformers Dark of the Moon.
Yeah.
8, Avengers Age of Ultron. 7, Marvel's The Avengers.
Listen to this. It's all is Marvel one of the greatest ever? Yeah.
6, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Mm. 5, Furious 7. 397 million.
I saw the preview of the,
Furious
the new
7.
One.
Why was
the
7 so great?
That was the one after he died, right?
Yeah.
7 was the latest one after he died.
Yeah, the new one looks really good, too.
Number 4... Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice.
That is an abomination.
That's a terrible movie.
That makes me question America and the world.
Number 3, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, $483 million opening.
Wow.
Number 2, Jurassic World, $524.9 million.
Wow.
Number 1, shouldn't surprise you, Star Wars: The Force Awakens, $529 million opening weekend worldwide.
Was that number 1?
No, that's number 7.
Number 7.
So that's the newest one of the latest relaunch.
Do you remember how big Star Wars 1 was when it opened?
Now, I will say, these do not appear to be inflation adjusted. So that could be a big part of that. It's why you're seeing a lot of recent ones. Twilight.
Yeah, if you go to inflation adjusted, it's probably still Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Gone with the Wind was like 26 cents a ticket.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what it was, but like almost everybody in the movie, like almost
everyone
everybody
in the world in the, saw it.
Yeah, everyone in the United States had to see that like 1.5 times.
Yeah.
It was something crazy.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Wow.
888-727-BECK.
Pat is very upset today. There's one
usual.
Thing that he, if there's one thing that would really hack him off, it's the happiest countries list. And we go to that when we come back.
Is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Just looking at the happy index. This is the happiest countries in the world.
And now, if you had to guess before you even heard what the survey says, where would you guess the United States to be?
Right behind North Korea.
Yes. Yes, you would. Mm-hmm. Especially when the report is produced by the Sustainable Development Solutions Network.
Oh.
You know we're not doing well in that.
No.
Why? There's no code words in that.
No code words at all.
No, not code words at all.
This is a report about how socialist your country is. So,
okay, so
we're not going to do well.
I actually agree with this. I actually agree with some of this. For instance... On the scale of the saddest countries, Rwanda is fifth from the bottom.
Yeah, that's
Syria
not going to be the happiest place on earth.
152, Tanzania 153, the Central African Republic is 155.
No one has ever confused the Central African Republic for Disney World. The happiest place
South Sudan is 147. Yemen is 146. It's pretty accurate on the bottom of the scale. So I personally think that it is fairly accurate on the upper side of the scale as well. And hear me out. Hear me out. Hear me out. Norway, Denmark, Finland, maybe the Netherlands and Iceland, maybe. But definitely Norway, Denmark, Netherlands. I can see because, A, it's a very, it used to be, a very homogenized society.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody pretty much looked the same. Everybody, you know, kind of, they were just all the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't have that conflict that comes with a melting pot. And they view themselves as a home for refugees because of World War II. They view themselves as a country that gets along and they love everybody and they don't get into people's faces and we share everything. They have this mentality that we do not have. And they revel in that. They pride themselves on that kind of an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're coming to them and saying, hey, do you trust your government? They generally do. Does your government have that safety net in case you're in trouble?
And they definitely do.
Absolutely do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy with your surroundings and the people around you? Yeah. I mean, that's who they are.
Are you okay with living in 700 square feet of living space? Yes, they generally are because they don't know any better.
Right, they generally are. And
yeah.
Do you consider you and your fellow citizens generous? Yes, they do. So
they're generous because they pay high taxes, which
right, but they
isn't
also look at
generosity. At all.
I think they also look at generosity as being the. I think they view themselves as the humble little America. Bring your wretched refuse to our shore. I think they look at themselves as we take in all the undesirables and we love everybody.
But that really wasn't the case until recently, until this refugee crisis in the Middle East. They weren't, you know, they were, like you said, homogenized. They're all the same.
Right.
How hard is it to get along when you're all the same?
No, it's not hard at all.
It's not hard.
That's why I think it's pretty easy to be the happiest countries.
Yeah.
So,
I suppose.
And it is also looking for the Marxist kind of countries.
Yeah, because so here's the criteria. They have a healthy balance of prosperity as conventionally measured.
Well, whatever I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
Right.
And social capital, meaning a high degree of trust in society, low inequality. And you know that's where we're going to get dinged with that.
Well, wait.
Massive inequality.
But they
here.
Don't even have inequality, A, because the government takes it all.
Yes,
but also
right.
because everyone's the same.
Yes.
Is there a trust in your society? Yes, because everyone's the same.
Yeah, definitely. And they say we're falling due to inequality, obviously, because that's what they like to harp on. Well, there's people who make $1 billion while others make $7 an hour. Yeah, but the people who make $1 billion employ the people who make $7 an hour. Otherwise, they'd make $0 an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
listen to the rhetoric.
The United States should raise happiness by addressing America's multifaceted social crisis.
Well, why don't I just go live in Liberia or Togo?
Togo?
I don't know. I think it is T-O-G-O. Togo?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
I'm so fascinated about the Iceland thing. I mean, their entire economy
collapsed.
You think our economy collapsed? Theirs, like, legitimately, they lost their currency.
And they're ahead of us.
They rewrote their constitution.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
They were looking for suggestions on Twitter.
I mean, that's good.
Hey, what should we put in our constitution? Remember when the founding fathers did that?
Again,
they wanted everybody to write something down, put it in a hat, and just drew stuff out.
Can I tell you? There. I mean.
Unbelievable.
You know, somebody said to me the other day, they said, it was George. I think
George
it was
Lang.
George Lang. Somebody, I think it was George Lang. He came over.
Who is a photographer, by the way.
Yeah, a good friend of ours. And he came over to the house last Sunday, and he went to church with us, and then he spent the afternoon. We had dinner together, and he stayed the night. And he was saying how much he enjoyed the day with the family. He said, it's just, it was just so great to be with the family. And he said it was, what did he call it? An immigrant philosophy, I think. And in some ways, it's true. America has lost its roots to the family. And you'll see it with Mexican immigrants. You will see it with the old Italian immigrants.
Asians,
where the family comes together still.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of these countries, they haven't lost that. We have. We've replaced a lot of that.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what they're basing this on, right? They're not basing it on family values. That's the last thing they care about.
No, read the first one again.
The first one, what?
The first
criteria?
Yeah, first criteria.
A healthy balance of prosperity as conventionally measured.
Yeah.
Social capital, meaning a high degree of trust in a society, low inequality, and confidence in government. And of course, the socialists have confidence in their socialist government.
Not necessarily. Venezuelans don't.
No, but I mean, the European socialism is different.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it translates. See, I don't think so, because it doesn't translate into Spain. It doesn't translate into Greece. It doesn't translate into Italy. It doesn't translate into Germany. It translates into the Netherlands. That is one place where it seems to work until it doesn't, and they're trying to get out of it now because of finances.
Yeah,
the math doesn't work.
Yeah.
But in that part of the world, it did kind of work. But it doesn't translate outside of that. I mean, probably because you're too cold to go out and picket or march. You're just like, oh, whatever. It's cold outside.
You know, a couple things. First
and
of all,
dark.
Socialism can be nice for a country for a very short period of time. I mean, a lot of people getting a lot of money. The overwhelming majority of people aren't rich and aren't the ones paying for it. So until the entire society breaks down, you have some positive moments in theory. To me, you're fighting long-term for your country, so you don't want to do that. Secondarily, you're right. Like, the sort of idea that everyone is uniform does, you know, help in some ways as far as strife, but it's also not worth the trade-off. I mean, I don't want that trade-off. I mean, and that's not, it's not something that I think is a good idea. But it's amazing to see these countries that are up at the top of that list. And I keep going back to this, but think of how bad this was. This is Iceland again. I'm fascinated by this. Now I'm going back and looking at all my notes on this.
Is this the meat thing where they didn't even have meat in McDonald's?
No, this is just stock market.
But remember that?
To see how serious.
Yeah. They couldn't even afford meat at McDonald's they can make hamburgers.
They don't grow their own beef for McDonald's, so they had no currency.
Cows can't live in that kind of cold.
Yeah, they
cows can't live.
How do you send Jeffy there? You watch how long he lives.
that's why you build up a
insulation.
That's
right. Talking about cows.
Whatever.
So, because they had this big thing where they got in, they were fishermen. Everyone was a fisherman, basically, there. And so they wound up expanding into international finance in a big way, which really helped their stock market for a while until people who were better at international banking wound up beating them down with it. So our stock market before the financial crisis was at about 14,000 and change and fell to about 6,600 at the bottom, okay? From 14,000 to 6,600. So you're talking a pretty big drop there, 60%.
Mm-hmm.
Their stock market in mid-2007 was about 9,100. It fell to 200.
Wow.
9,100 to 200. Can you imagine blew up their entire currency. They had to rewrite their constitution. That is a financial crisis. I mean, what we dealt with in the United States and the rest of the world dealt with was nothing compared to Iceland.
But I think I've not been to Iceland, but aren't they still pretty much fishermen?
I think they've gone back to a lot of that, yes. Apparently a great place to visit. It actually is pretty amazing to visit, and like it's a really nice culture, and it's an interesting place, and it's welcoming, and there's a lot of great things about it. However, you know, it depends on what you
and the names value. Of their cities are all 26 letters long.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
You know, it's it's amazing.
Better.
You know, so try this on for size. You're India. How do you feel? You're India. You're at 122, and Pakistan is 80.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's enough to cause a war.
I mean, if I had a choice of which country I'm going to India. I read this.
What were the two again? It was India.
Pakistan was 80.
Oh, wow.
India, 122. Bangladesh is at 110.
Wow, that's jeez. A commentary on India there.
Sri Lanka, 120.
Bangladesh has a natural disaster about every 15 minutes.
Two natural disasters have
How
happened
happy
since
can they
we
be?
Started talking uh-huh. about the happiness report.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I mean, when we look into the happiness of Iceland, it's not possible. It's just not possible.
They're like eight places ahead of us on the happiness scale. We were 14th. I think they're 6th or 7th, whatever. Yeah. And this is a backward country.
I'm amazed by this story.
And they should be taken over before they hurt themselves.
So the naming thing is really fascinating. So, in the United States, Glenn Beck has a daughter, Hannah. It's Hannah Beck. That's not how it works in Iceland at all.
Well, they don't have last names.
They don't have last names. They have last names, but the last name is essentially a formation of the parent's first name. So Hannah Beck here would be in Iceland, Hannah Beck daughter. So
no, it'd be Hannah Glendaughter.
Hannah Glendaughter. Sorry, Hannah Glendaughter.
Their first name. Dad's
it's the first
name.
So Hannah Glendaughter. He could also be the wife's first name potentially, mm-hmm. or you could do. Some of them are both first names, which is a very strange.
Hannah Glenn Tanya daughter.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, kind of. Then you have when you get married, you can't take the other person's name.
Of course not.
That can't happen. That's not legal. And then thirdly, if you want to name you go through this process when your baby's born. You don't name the kid for multiple months, okay? The tradition is you have to get to know them first name them.
Right, they come into their name.
They come into their name. So they start out for the first few months as boy or girl, which, by the way, is hateful. I don't know if they know
this. Right off the bat, that's hateful.
Well, you're assigning a gender to them, which is not right. Clearly
how
wrong.
Can you possibly know at 3 months what
you
their gender
know.
Is? There's no way to know.
No.
So they call them boy or girl for like 3 months or longer. And then when you come up with a name, if it's not on the normal name list, you have to submit the name
Sven.
I think that one's on there.
Sven Wilhelm's son.
You have to send the request to the Icelandic naming committee before being allowed to name
the
your child.
Naming committee.
For example, because it has to fit the Icelandic alphabet. Mm-hmm. And they rejected, for example, Pedro because no Icelandic word ends in O, which, I mean, we're hateful here. We're the hateful. They rejected all Pedros and we're
amazing.
The hatemongers.
Wow.
Incredible.
Maybe that's why they're happy they have no Pedros there.
I would say.
And who's doing the work that all the Icelanders won't do?
I don't know the answer to that.
There is no work the Icelanders won't do.
Yeah, that's well, see what I mean?
Because the only work is fishing and they do that.
Right. Okay, so now... Now, we are number 14 on the list of happy places, so I went, of course, right to HuffPo to find out the 45 things we can do to be happier instantly.
Oh, good.
Oh, I got a few on that list.
Number 45, look at the bright side.
Right?
Wow.
That's really deep.
Deep.
Right.
I like this one. You want to be happier? Lower your expectations. That's number 44.
I actually fully agree with that one. I'll tell you what. I actually really do agree with it.
Want to be happy? Take a selfie.
Oh, God. I've seen my selfies.
Yeah.
No.
That would not make me happier.
Yeah, yeah. Want to be happy? I like this one. Recite a positive mantra, like, the only thing I have to do is follow my bliss.
You made me angry by reciting it.
Skip the small talk and go deep. Think of happy memories. Celebrate little victories. Try to cut back on work. Is my favorite. Number 32, just try. I mean, really try to be happy.
Wow.
It's really profound.
I never thought of that.
It is.
I'm immediately happier.
Well, I'm instantly happier.
Now,
but
right
that's
now.
A little faster than immediately.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.